Well, God bless everybody. It's nice to be here with you all today. We're going to go to the book of Acts here to start off. Actually, we're going to stay there for a while. Chapter 1. I was listening to a couple of commercials, you know, those where the guys get on and tell you to turn to Jesus, you know, and pray and God will answer your prayer. I was listening to a preacher also, just happened to go by, and you know, they get to the end of their teaching or the beginning, and they want people to turn towards the Lord, and they ask them to, you know, confess their sins and you know, turn to God, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking to myself that every time, most of the time I hear all these guys, most of the time they never talk about the resurrection for the most part. And really in the first century and for the great majority of the teaching and preaching, when Peter and Paul and the others are talking to God's people and witnessing to them, one of their main subjects is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's nothing. Without, you know, obviously without God raising Jesus from the dead, we have nothing as believers. And without people coming to a knowledge of and really believing on what happened at the resurrection, they have nothing either. So I just thought it would be, I had a good time doing it. I just went through the book of Acts, and I was thinking about some of these records. And I want, because if we're going to tell the old story like we just sang, I mean, you can tell people God loves you, and he does. You can tell that he will forgive your sins, and he will. You can tell them just about everything that we do. I mean, it's in the scriptures. But if you never get people to focus in on and believe the resurrection, then they really do miss the boat. And they don't have a complete understanding of the gospel, the most important parts. You know, Jesus died for us, but God got him up from the dead. That was what salvation for us is all about. He paid for our sins, but without the resurrection, we have nothing. This life is it. And that's sad. In Acts chapter 1, it starts here, it says, we'll start in verse 1. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That's the book of Luke. That's what he's talking about. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death. He showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs, and being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart out of Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And he tells them about the Holy Spirit that's coming. But he was with them in his resurrected body for 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God, explaining to them how these things fit together. Remember on the road to Emmaus, you know, he put together the scriptures, everything concerning him, but he was in his resurrected body, and they figured it out. Wow, that was him. These individuals in the book of Acts, and so many of the believers, by the time you get to the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he says there's still about 500 that are still alive that were witnesses to his resurrection. Also says in 1 Corinthians 15 that without, because the Corinthian believers were failing on their belief of the resurrection, and he says, if Christ is not raised, then we of all men are most miserable because we have nothing. See, that's our hope, right? Our hope is that he comes back. The reason he's coming back is not just to pay the toll in Manhattan. He's coming back to raise us from the dead. You know, he might not pay the toll. Tongue in cheek. Yeah, I love. Whether you like it or not, he might not pay it. I don't know. I'm in a funny mood this morning. So, in Acts chapter 1, verse 22. But see, that is our focus. That is, as believers, this is the most important event that will ever take place in our life. Because when we get up, we live forever. We live forever with a brand new body, a brand new mind. We are going to be with all those who love our Lord and love our God forever and ever and ever. And that's what this whole thing's about. So however long we live is not necessarily that important. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet born of women, Jesus said. And he probably died around 30 to 33 years old. He was just 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a really short life for a man. And especially for one that's walking with God and is that important. But he did his job and he was killed. Just like so many of the prophets, he was killed. But he's got eternity. See, and so it's just, okay, it's a pause button. He's asleep waiting for the resurrection. You know, in verse 22, when they were picking the replacement for Judas, it says, and being baptized, and beginning from the baptism of John, this was the requirements the guys had to fulfill. We want people here that are going to do this job with us, but we want them so that they have seen from the baptism of John unto that same day when he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. It was in their minds, they had to be there the whole time to be able to do the job and to replace Judas, who had killed himself. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he spends a tremendous amount of time in his message to the people. Starting in verse 24, I'm going to pick it up. He spends a tremendous amount of his time talking about the resurrection and trying to get these people to understand that God raised Jesus from the dead. And in verse 22, whom God hath raised, and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy at thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, of his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had showed forth this which you now see and hear. And he continues. These were people before, after the crucifixion. Peter and the rest were hiding in fear of their lives. It says they were hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They were cowering. They weren't going to continue doing the ministry. They weren't going to do. Jesus had just gotten killed mercilessly. And that fear was running through their veins. And then the Lord shows up in his resurrected body, and they still had a hard time with it. He had to show up to them at least 3 times. They went back fishing. They did a bunch of other things. But he spent 40 days with them. And the thing that changed them, the other huge thing that changed them, was that they received the Spirit. That changed them and locked them in. And they literally, all of these individuals, with the exception of John, the Apostle John, they were all killed. They were all martyred. According to church history, it doesn't say so in the Bible, but a lot of them were in the Bible. But according to church history, which I don't follow that often, but all of these people were martyred with the exception of John, because he was hanging over in Crete. And he was the last of them to live. He died as an old man. They all separated out. They all went out and moved the gospel, as far as we know. And they were willing to lay down their life because they'd seen the resurrection and they received the Holy Spirit. And those two things, and especially the receiving of the Holy Spirit, locked them in with courage to hold forth the word. But it was the resurrection that they preached. And that was one of the most significant things for them to hold forth to people. You know, when it came time to talk to the Jews, they went through entire history when they had an opportunity. They would stand in the synagogue and they would talk to these people, first of all, reminding them of everything that God had done for them. You know, and many times they would take them through the time of coming out of Egypt and so forth, and the kings, and they would say, hey, and David, they'd get to David, and then they'd go into and say, and God provided an heir, this Jesus, and he raised him from the dead, even though you guys killed him. He'd look right at him and say, you know, you and the leaders killed him. but God raised him. That was extremely important for them and their salvation. Now ask yourself the question, when we hold forth the word, is that the subject? Do we get there? We tell, oh, God will answer your prayers. God will help you. You know, don't worry about it. The Lord will. All those things are good. But do we ever get to the meat and the potatoes of what is to be preached? The main thing? Go to verse 32. I read that. All right, go to chapter 3, verse 26. Here they heal the man, and then they're called on the carpet. In 3:26, it says, Unto you first, God hath, having raised up his son, Jesus, and sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. So when he is preaching to them, after he has healed this man who was crippled, and they're going to put him in jail here in a minute, but he's preaching to the people, and the whole point, again, is that God raised him. God raised him in chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people. Now, this is when they're being called on the carpet with the leaders. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. It's because of the resurrection. You know, I got God raised Jesus from the dead, and when the Lord was raised, it says early in the morning, he told Mary, don't touch me, right? And then at that sunrise, the high priest was to do the heave offering to God. And he had to present himself to God. And he raised his hands and presented his resurrected body to God as the first fruits from the dead. And then he was ascended. And he says, and when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. He says, I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to ask, and he will give you another comforter. But he can't ask if he's not raised. You and I can't receive, because if he didn't sacrifice himself, but if God didn't accept that sacrifice by the resurrection, we have nothing. And it's that resurrection, that's when our promises of everything that God has given to us comes to pass. Jesus paid for it on the cross. He sealed the deal with the resurrection. The victory is done. And then when he returns, you and I are going to realize everything that he paid for, everything that he did, and everything that God promised that he would give at the time of the resurrection. It's just... But again, I just want, keep it in front of your head when you get to talk to folks. Keep it in front of your heart and mind. This is where you want to get to when you talk to them. And many times here, especially in the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter is reminding these guys, no, you guys killed him. He's famous. You killed him. He's one of those famous criminals that you all were so zealous of killing. But God got him up from the dead. When he talks to the Gentiles in other parts of the world, he doesn't do it from that point of view. He does it from the point of view of, hey, the God who created all things. That God is capable of raising the dead. And he did it through Jesus Christ. And, yeah, we'll get to a couple of those verses later on if I get there. But this is what was, you got to get to that point. In chapter 4, verse 33. I'm just picking out a few of these main points, but you can read the context. And it says, and with great power he gave the apostles witness. He gave them the apostles great power to witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. When they moved the word, when they preached the gospel, the power demonstrated was to show people, ultimately, as far as God was concerned, to give them the witness so that people would know the resurrection happened. You know, when the shadow of Peter would pass and people would be healed, it wasn't just for the person. It was a witness of the power of what God had done at the resurrection. And chapter 5, in verse 29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, will be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And they certainly got their hearts cut from that point on. Again, they threatened them, they beat them, they jailed them. And these guys were happy about it. They were happy about it. They thought, I am worthy to suffer. And I think that's really different. You know, everybody wants a smooth life. These guys were really happy that they were being persecuted. They certainly had a different mindset. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 39. Peter is talking to the first Gentiles they're being witnessed to. And I want to remind you, when he was doing this, when he went to Cornelius' house, no Jew entered into the house of a Gentile. It was against the law. And Peter was a good believer. He never dealt with the Gentiles. He never went into their house. They weren't supposed to hear the gospel. As far as Peter was concerned, in his heart and in his mind, the only people that were going to be saved were the Jews. So nobody ever decided to go talk to you and me. I mean, we'd be out. You know, a lot of us say, oh, it'd be great to have lived in the first century. Yeah, yeah, sure. Nobody wants to talk to you. Be a little rough. You can hear the word nah. I ain't coming to your house. It was God that had to teach Peter by way of a vision. He had to give him a revelation that kicked him so hard that he had to reconsider everything that he learned. Because God shows him all he's at. He says, kill and eat. Peter, kill and eat. I've never done that, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And then God says to him in this vision, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. And it's just contrary to everything he's ever learned. It's contrary to everything that's written. And yet his relationship with God and his understanding of his walk by the Spirit. Most people don't have that kind of confidence walking by the Spirit. Oh, maybe God told me this. There was no maybe here. He knew the Lord was showing him something. He just didn't understand it right away. You know, Javier can tell me something about his work and all the things that he's doing. And he can tell me in plain English, and I may not understand what he's talking about, which is very likely. Okay? Or George can talk to me about photography, or Richie about, or Ralph can talk to me about music, or Dwayne. You know, Carmen can talk to me about cooking, and I may not get it. So we all understand that. If you've never been exposed or had any kind of lesson on different subjects, especially outside of your experience, it might be difficult to understand. And God is changing the rules. The mystery hasn't been made known yet. Ephesians hasn't come along yet. All the explanation that's in the church epistles hasn't been written yet. All he's got is the Old Testament. But God wants this man to hear. So God sends him there. Gets an angel to bring him. Got an angel to go get Peter. God's working a lot of things out because God wants things done. And in verse 39, it says, he's talking to Cornelius, and he says, and we are witnesses of all things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. See, it's not you slew, it's they slew him, and they hung him on a tree, whom God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and to drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. It is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. When he was preaching to him again, the resurrection was one of the most important things to talk about. One of the most important things. Chapter 13. As you read the book of Acts and as you read the New Testament, realize how important, and I know that you all know that it's important, but this is what we are to speak. Like I said, when I listen to these guys, they miss that point. They're always talking about, oh, God loves you, he'll help you, he'll forgive you. But I never hear, I want you to understand that one day The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back because God raised him from the dead, and you can be with him forever. Yeah. So, 13, chapter 13, verse 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Here he is. He's out. Paul and Barnabas are out there holding forth the word. And again, the topic. He gives them a whole history. But he talks about verse 36. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep. He died. And was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all things, all that believe are justified from all things, for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In 17, this is when he's in Athens. In 17:31, like I said, the way in which he approaches it is a little different from the Jews and the Gentiles, only because they don't have the history of the Bible. They are not necessarily looking for every prophet, and that's most of the people we're talking to. They're not necessarily concerned about every little thing in the law and the prophecies because they're not that familiar with it. So in 17:31 it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given him assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. The assurance that we have that these things are going to happen and that God is going to restore all things is that he raised Jesus from the dead. And says, and then, you know, and this is a subject that separates the men from the boys as far as the believers are concerned. It says, and when he had heard the when they had heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, I will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. There's going to be plenty of people who are just, when you get to that subject, nah, we're not doing that. That's not possible. There's a whole lot of people, and they will be dealing with that. Don't be afraid. Let them decide. Let them hear. Let them decide. It's their decision whether they want to be in eternity or not. It's their decision. Not yours. You just let them know. Let them know what Jesus did, what God did when he raised them. In chapter 23, let's see, chapter 23, verse 6. So Paul is standing, and again, he's being called on the carpet. In verse 6, it says, but when Paul perceived that one part were they were calling him on the carpet for his beliefs, he perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, of the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. See, he's been preaching the resurrection of the dead, the Lord. Pharisees believe that there's a resurrection. So So he puts the two of them against each other in this thing in a very clever way. And they ended up fighting with each other. But the point is, I am being called here on the table. I am being persecuted. I'm standing in front of this judgment because I believe in the resurrection. And God does it. You know, because he had been preaching to them about the Lord. Chapter 24. Again, Paul is being on the carpet here. And we'll start reading here in verse 13. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. And therein do I exercise myself to have always conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offered, and he goes on. But he, again, was standing in front of, I believe it was Agrippa or Felix or somebody. And he said, the main reason I'm here is because I'm preaching the resurrection of the dead. And the Pharisees believe this. The Jews believe this. At least certain sects of them do. So what's the big deal? You know, this is part of his defense. But again, the resurrection is the big, is the subject. Verse chapter 26, he's before Agrippa, King Agrippa. King Agrippa is kind of a piece of work in my mind, because after he's all done talking to Agrippa, he says, oh, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. You almost went to eternity instead of the hell. So in 26, we're going to start reading, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto all the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art besides thyself. Much learning has made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows that these things before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. And this thing was not done in a corner. And King Agrippa believes thou the prophets, and I know that thou believe. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuades me to be a Christian. And Paul goes back to jail. Agrippa says, I could have got out if he didn't plead to go to Caesar. Point is, again, when he's standing before all these trials and everything else, it's about the resurrection. That's why I'm being persecuted. That's why I am being called on the carpet. They're preaching it to such a degree, and it's making such a disturbance throughout the whole first century world that they're being persecuted and killed for their beliefs. when you and I hold forth the scriptures, I want you just to put this in the forefront of your mind. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Why not just ask him? You know what Easter is, don't you? Everybody knows. Just get to the point. And then they say, well, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, I mean, is he your Lord? Do you do what he says? Do you know that he's coming back for you? I mean, you can get to an awful lot of heavy-duty, wonderful doctrinal subjects just by asking people questions. And if they say, no, I don't believe God raised them from the dead, that's foolishness. Then figure out which way it's going to go. Because if it's really that and they can't be persuaded, then just like Paul, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. Because this one has judged himself unworthy of eternity. And Peter says those words, he quotes the Old Testament in saying those words, and Paul quotes the Old Testament in saying those words. And that's how you figure out what you need to do. I need to do what the Bible says, not what I feel. I need to speak what it says. I need to hold it forth the how and the way it says it. And again, there's adjustments for the crowd that you're talking to. You know, one's going to be knowledgeable of the Old Testament, the other one's not. But it's a similar message, just different way in which to get to the same point. Go to Romans chapter 1. See, this wasn't understood when Peter was talking to Cornelius. This wasn't written. Sometimes you forget the whole Bible wasn't put down in one time. Sometimes people judge, well, why did they do that in the book of Acts and they didn't do it later on? Well, because they didn't know. God didn't make it known yet. You know, it's obvious once you think it through, but if you think that everything was made known to them all the time at the same time, then you just don't put it together. It's a progressive understanding of what's coming throughout the entire first century. It's a progressive understanding. It says here in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Well, verse 2, it says, which he hath promised afore by the prophets and the holy scriptures in the Old Testament. And it was concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, God himself, by the resurrection of the dead. God is the one who has witnessed that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he made it known by the resurrection of the dead. Yeah, that's just... And then there's a verse here in Romans chapter 10. I think it was last week, I talked about this verse. This is not a one-time quote. You quote this and you're saved. That's bad. To believe that is not good. I believed it for years. But I'm telling you that as you read the Bible and you read the 10th chapter of Romans and you keep it in its context, this is not what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 are talking about. First of all, if you pull it apart, I didn't spend much time on it the last teacher, but if you pull it apart with the Greek, these are continuous. All right? That if thou shalt confess, in Romans 10, let's just read it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's not a one-time confession. It's a continuous confession. He's my Lord. My Lord 10 minutes ago, and he's my Lord 10 minutes from now. But it's continuous. And you believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to believe this, and you got to maintain that faith. You got to maintain that faith. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that they stop. Paul said to him, you got to maintain this. If you maintain it, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, I think it is. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, but which also you are saved, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you. It's an if. If you quit, you don't believe it. He ain't Lord. You don't believe nor take serious the resurrection. Go back to Romans. Romans 10, 9, and 10 is a capsulization of what a person needs to believe to be saved. It is like the short list here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, who hath believed on him shall not be ashamed. That's an Old Testament quote. People who believe on him, Abraham believed to see his day, right? And Abraham will be there in the resurrection because he believed on the Messiah and he believed that he would come and that he would do. The people who saw him in person and they believed that he is the Messiah and they believed that he is the one, they're going to be there. And you and I who believe, look back in the Bible and say, yep, this was and this is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God raised him from the dead, we're going to be there. It's like a credit card. Everything is charged on him. Before he did it, while he was doing it, and after. It's all on what Jesus Christ and what God did in raising him from the dead. The gospel is to believe, but I wanted you just to put back in your head how important it is to talk about the resurrection to people. It's not just a lovey-dovey, everything's going to be okay. That there are major things that have to be brought to people's heart for their salvation. And the resurrection is one of them. Jesus Christ being Lord is the other. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.